chill. Keeping you company during the coronavirus.
What's going on, people? This is Marcel Somerville, and I host the Michael and Marcel Show on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. I hate the coronavirus, and I know you do too. So what we need to do as a nation is stick together by staying at home, sanitizing our hands, and listening to the radio. FUBAR Radio, to be exact. And I know you're locked in right now because you're listening to Stay at Home and Chill, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
FUBAR Radio.
Good news. Tell me if you recognise this voice.
Good-ish news.
Look upwards.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Do you want my iPhone?
I would, actually. Oh, Joe, what's just happened? Like, the worst thing that could have happened.
It's probably not the worst thing that could have happened. What has happened?
the cable for the... that I plug it into, just... I just let it go and it went down the hole.
Oh, it's okay. I can see it.
Can you see it?
Yeah,
on the floor.
I can freeze that.
Probably the most shambolic episode we've ever done.
Yeah. A lady is feeding it through the hole.
Amanda, she's got a name, mate. Come on.
But I don't like to be too familiar with it.
So, shall I... I'll plug my guy in.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate. Oh, I've just got a pint of water.
As have you.
Feeling pretty confident about your...
Well, the thing is, I don't really know what is on this machine.
Do you not listen to it much?
I do, but I listen to things I've bought recently. So
yes.
I know what I've bought recently, but beyond that, it's a bit of a mystery. What's an average number of songs to have on one of these?
Well, I thought...
You must have some experience.
Well, yeah.
What are you packing?
See, I've got close to 9,000, right? But turns out... Most people I've had on have got, 20,000. They've got loads.
Yeah, you see, I don't really like music. Uh-huh. I've got 4,587.
Okay.
So that feels low.
But still, we're not going to get through all of them. So here we go.
The embarrassing thing will be when I can't identify it.
Well,
there's a high chance of that.
I think you'll be able to identify this.
Okay.
Pretty easily.
Go on then.
Here we go. Well,
it's
literally skipped again. That's the thing. Here we go. Queens of the Stone Age. Oh, it's skipped again.
Oh, dear.
This is the most shambolic we've ever been. Here we go. Queens of the Stone Age there. On Rick Edwards' iPod. First It Giveth is the song title.
Wouldn't have got that.
You wouldn't have got that?
No.
Songs for the Deaf.
Songs for the Deaf. I would have, I know what album it's from, but genuinely I'm happy. I think there's more humiliating stuff on there.
Queens of Stone Age,
I think
is
very solid.
Absolute solid. No one's really going to go.
So one of my favourite bands.
They're very good.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Did you like Caius before then?
No.
A different band.
Yeah. I, for a long time, had quite a big man crush on Josh, and I'm never quite sure how you're supposed to say his name.
Hom?
Or
Hommy?
Hommy?
I think it's Hom.
Hom? Okay. Him. I just thought, what a fantastic figure of a man.
Yes.
And then I did actually, I enjoy Eagles of Death Metal, is that what they're called? Offshoot band.
Right,
that
yeah.
Flum Rin, also very good stuff. They're on there somewhere.
Yep.
I sort of felt like, actually, do you know what? If I am swapping heads, back to swapping heads.
Yeah.
I'd take Josh on.
You would take Josh on.
Yeah. And I think he's...
Absolutely.
He's bigger than me, but I think his head would...
It would sit
all right. It would
sit...
I mean, he's a real unit.
I think it'd be okay.
Yeah.
It'd be all right. I mean, yeah. Do you think, you've got a girlfriend, do you think she'd want to kiss him? That's the problem.
Yeah, it is the problem,
because then
isn't it?
She's got to go out with you.
Yeah, you want to pick... That's the thing. There's actually, it's not just about you, is it? You've got to make sure that everyone else in your life is happy with your new head.
Yeah.
Particularly girlfriend.
Yeah.
But then equally, you don't want your girlfriend really pushing for a particular head.
Yeah, because then you're going to
be like, hang on a minute.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Yeah, just, yeah. See, make sure you, yeah.
And you can always play the cards, you can always go, I thought it didn't matter what it looked like.
Yeah.
I thought it was on the inside. And then they'll go, come on, you know, that's not
yeah,
true.
Everyone
you know,
sort of,
yeah,
that's
not. You're an adult.
In cheek. Yeah.
You're an adult now.
Yeah. We can accept
no,
you
not with
all over the surface.
Yeah. Let's see what the next song is on your lovely, lovely iPod. Here we go. West Coast.
Oh. Yeah, good.
West Coast, Summer Mood, from the album Crazy For You. Mm-hmm. Great album.
Thank you.
I own that as well. No one else has had Best Coast on their iPod on the show, so it's nice to have someone else who
likes
them.
I like the ladies' vocals.
Very nice vocals.
Yeah.
Got into them because my girlfriend put them on a mix for me when we first met.
Oh, that's
cute. So I discovered
cute.
Them. You make mixes for ladies when you first meet them?
Do you know what? I don't, but it's because I'm just not that big into music. I would not. It's not something I would think to do, particularly.
Have you ever had one made for you?
I don't know if I have, actually. That's heartbreaking, isn't it?
That's very sad.
Would you make me one?
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
I'd definitely make you one.
A clue, not that you wouldn't really get from what you've heard so far, is I like hip hop. So that's a steer for you.
Yeah, you don't really make that for a romantic mixtape at the start, do you? I mean, you wouldn't be like, here you go, those misogynistic lyrics.
No, I mean, it's making
but obviously
quite
not all hip hop is that, but like.
No, but I mean, it's fair to characterise the genre as having a degree of misogyny.
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever put hip hop on a mixtape. I make mixtapes, but as soon as I know I'm going to see that person again, I make him a mix. I love making mixes so much.
So after one date, you're making a mix?
After one date, I'm like, I'm making this person a mix because it seems like it's going pretty well.
How many have you made?
Well, how many different women have I made mixes for?
That's the question.
Right. Well,
I will put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fine, though, isn't it?
Try and work out how much of a player you are.
I think 4.
Oh, okay, fine.
But there might be more.
It might be a
4 or 5.
Couple in the closet.
But like, there's some ones that got away.
Ah, I see.
But still got a mix.
Yeah, I guess those are the ones I'm interested in. Do you think the mix had anything to do with it? Do you think you made a bad mix?
Impossible.
Impossible.
I would have made a very good mix.
Do you just have a template? Do you just do the same? I mean, they wouldn't know, presumably, would they?
I do not. Yeah, I see it. But that's
just go, listen, I've nailed this mix. I'll just start dolling it out willy-nilly.
Yeah, I would know.
And I
would definitely feel pretty bad about it. Mm. Especially like if one song goes down particularly well on someone's mix, and then the next time you meet someone, you go, well, worked with Suzanne, so I'll put this on. Yeah,
I guess as soon as the person starts asking you questions, that's when it's going to get awkward.
Yeah. Going, why is this song Suzanne on here?
Yeah.
It's called Suzanne. It's you singing the name Suzanne over and over again in your bedroom. I think I got better at making, I think maybe in the early days when I was like a teenager, all the mixes would be just songs that I really like and trying to be like, this is who I am. Mm. Whereas now, it would be to show that I understand them a bit more. I'd be like, here's some songs I think
you would
like.
Are you genuinely saying that after one date, you can get enough of a gauge of who this person is to make a mixtape they're going to like?
pretty much.
That is a hell. I mean, that's basically a superpower.
I haven't had many, you know. So like, I occasionally click with people when I, but when I do, it's like big time.
Yeah,
whereas, like,
I see.
I tend not to even go for a second date if it was just fine a lot of the time. It's quite. So yeah, every time it tends to be this big, it's quite a big parade.
Yeah, that is
something.
It's a big. So do you slot into that first date when it's going well? Do you start fishing for musical information?
Yeah, yeah. Just go.
And if I was going to make you a mixtape,
yeah. If we were
what kind of
walking down the promenade, yeah. What song would you like to hear the most? The next song on your one. I was going to go to my one, but I think we've only had two from yours. So here we go. The next one on Rick Edwards iPod. It's Beat City by the Raveonettes.
Ooh.
That's a noisy ending.
Bloody racket.
Listen to them.
Absolute bloody racket.
Raving on at the end.
Turn it off, mate.
Can't. Just let it happen. Some bands obviously end sets like that forever, don't they?
They start
making that noise.
I don't even know. What's the word for that?
Well, sometimes it's feedback, but that doesn't sound like feedback to me.
No,
they're just thrashing. They're just
thrashing away.
Thrashing away at the guitars.
I think it's a sort of a poor replacement for an end.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Something you can't do that in a film, can you? Can't just suddenly just flash up a load of images, random images, and then just sort of peter out.
Tell that to the Coen brothers. I love the Coen brothers,
I love the Coen brothers, but they're not going to win like that.
But, you know, they would probably do that.
Well, I mean, no, but they haven't.
They kind of have. Was it a Serious Man? Is that what it's called?
They don't end on a series of flashing it. I really like it. Serious Man.
I really like a Serious Man.
It's one for the fans of theirs. I mean, not an accessible work.
My friend Nish Kumar. You met Nish Kumar?
Yes.
It's his favourite one from Coen Brothers films.
It's just, that's
get this,
telling, isn't it?
Get this, he doesn't like Fargo.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there you go. He considers himself a fan of the Coen Brothers. He doesn't like Fargo, and Serious Man's his favourite one.
A Serious Man being your favourite is eccentric, but interesting.
Yeah.
Not liking Fargo is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
But how does he defend it? Like, that is an indefensible position.
He pulls a face which is like, you know, kind of a. It's not a. It isn't like he hates it. He just goes, and he kind of goes, I just didn't really get it. And you're like, I don't know what you didn't get. You get their other films. He likes their other ones.
In terms of getting it, it's a lot more gettable than A Serious Man.
Yeah, it is, really.
It's a lot more gettable than most of them, actually. It's more gettable than Barton Fink.
It's got a proper end. It's got characters who anyone would really care about. Anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Even people who don't like the Coen Brothers would invest in those characters. Storyline's very easy to follow. Really good story.
Nish is a... I like Nish, but he's
just let you down, isn't he?
An idiot.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Let's have a song from your iPod.
Yeah, go on.
On that note.
On that bombshell.
T-Pain.
Oh, here we go.
I ain't even not. Say the car here to the state, and you seen a nigga thought, throwing that ass for days. Booty going up, down. I ain't got no problem spending all of my money. Tryna see what's up, now. I can do this all day like it ain't nothing. Booty going up, down. I ain't got no problem spending all of my money. Tryna see what's up, know this all day like it ain't nothing. Oh, I ain't even know it, ain't know it. Say the car, you to the state. Ain't seen a nigga thought, doing that ass for days.
I ain't got no problem spending all of my money. Trying to see what's up. I'm doing this all day like it ain't nothing.
T-Pain, up, down, brackets, do this all day, close brackets.
Told you I like hip-hop.
You do, don't you?
Finally, there's some evidence.
There's some little evidence there. Yeah. Up, down, do this all day. What's he talking about there?
Well, you tell me.
Humping?
Up to...
Bonking?
I mean, it's... yeah. T-Pain's favourite activity, bonking.
Bonking.
I think that's off the album, Bonking, isn't it?
Yeah, bonking all the live long day. That's what the album's called, with T-Pain.
Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
This is me speaking to a caller, and yes, so let's get into it. This is FUBAR.
I think it's fair to say over the last few years you've become the acceptable face of non-white commentary in the mainstream media outlets. Do you feel that?
Well, I don't know particularly about, I mean, acceptable in the sense that years of speaking directly to my community, years of becoming to a point where, you know, there was a level of popularity online that could no longer really be ignored. You know, if you look at how little radio support I had and how little mainstream media support I had for, you know, the first 10 years of my career versus now, I'm not sure so much it's about acceptance, more about... It's partly that, I think, but it's also partly, well, if we ignore this person when they've got tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of views online, 500,000 followers across social media, clearly it just looks like censorship. So I think it's more about a level of popularity that, from the people, that became ignorable. But yes, I'm conscious that sometimes I'm the go-to guy, which is why 95% of the media requests I get, I turn down and say, talk to X, Y, and Z. So I do, again, think it's about building just a consistent and normal range of voices. And I think that is in the process of happening, but they're just challenges.
Yeah, definitely. But I think you're doing a great job, because I saw you, for example, on This Week with Andrew Neil, yeah, and other news outlets like that. Do you feel any kind of pressure to make sure that you get all of your words correct? Because you are, you know, the face representing the streets to these people in many respects.
It's difficult because, like, my natural inclination comes from the background I'm from. When someone's patronising or rude, being frank is to tell them to fuck off. Do you know what I mean? And so when you're in a TV environment, you can't say to someone, shut up, you dickhead, which is in your head the way you would respond if someone was being patronising to you. So that is a challenge. So sometimes you'll see me sat there like... restraining. But, you know, those are all the different strings to our bow, really. You know, I feel like hip-hop has evolved to a point where there's nothing corny about a credible rapper making a children's book. We all, no one, even the wickedest bad man chatting, whatever you want in the world, on any kind of record, wants for their children that lifestyle. Everyone wants for their children. You could take the wickedest man in jail who's got 10 life sentences and you ask him what he wants for his children, it isn't what he's got. I was lucky enough to grow up seeing that because my uncles and others who were naughty boys were always like, oh no, you're smart. We don't want you to be like us. And so for me, one of the reasons this will be so respected, again, is because it's a, you know, hopefully a credible voice from a certain background that young people can relate to, being like, nah, well, actually, being smart is cool. And that's the mentality and ethic that we need to cultivate.
That's the thing that I've been speaking about just recently on the radio show, how, you know, there was a time in the past in hip-hop where it was cool to be educated, and that was the thing to boast about, and we sort of stepped away from that. But it is coming back more, I feel, as people are becoming more engaged with the real-life social issues that are happening. But on a hip-hop front then, what are your hip-hop credentials, would you say?
Well, people can look them up for themselves. I mean, it's what it is, isn't it? I've been an independent artist for 12, 13 years. There's a record there, that's for the people to decide. I'll leave it to the jury. What I like about and what I want artists to see, particularly music artists, the difference between the publishing industry and the music industry. In the publishing industry, you can have 20 book deals at the same time if you wanted, with 20 different publishers, theoretically, provided you could deliver. They just sign that work. So it's inherently a fairer model than the music industry, where they're signing you and they want a piece of everything you do forever. They don't get a percentage of my music money, they are just signing that work. Young rappers, musicians, songwriters, others, there's one thing I want you to see is you can, just from a cold business level, that's a fairer model, and you should use your platform as artists if you want to be writers in other forms. to push the music industry to have a fairer model for artists, but also to say, well, this is a fairer model, I'm going to use that as well.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on Fubar Radio.
Anthony DiBrezzo, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's really great to get you on.
Happy to be here.
So what do you do in the day-to-day?
Yeah, I've started doing events. So I put on comedy events. Before, I'd do them in sort of like, you know, standard venues. I started putting them on a party bus, which has been really, really fun.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's different. So basically, I have live DJ on the bus, and then I have two stand-up comedians performing back-to-back, just about maybe 10, 15 minutes each. The main point of the part of the night is DJ and the music. It's cool because, you know, everyone there is really friendly. We all get on with each other.
Yeah.
A lot of people have messaged me saying, oh, you know, I want to come, but I don't want to go on my own. And I say to them, look, believe me, everyone's friendly. By the time you leave, you'll have a whole bunch of friends.
Best friends by the end of the
and
night.
And it happens every single time, so...
Where does it, like, go? Where do you catch this bus?
So you catch the bus at Clapham Junction Station. Yeah. It starts there probably around about 7, and then we do a sort of mini tour around, like, central London. So we go past, like, Big Ben and stuff, and, like, it's crazy.
Do you get to, like, stop off for pee breaks and stuff?
Yeah, well, there's a toilet on board.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
there's a toilet on there, but we do stop off, like, for food.
Yeah,
for no, cigarettes.
Standard. Yeah.
There's a nice stop off as well by the London Eye. So we get some really cool pictures there as well.
Selfie opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to have the selfie opportunities.
We have to do it for the gram.
That is reminding me of, I'm just envisioning like Harry Potter. Have you seen Harry Potter?
Yeah, I have, so, but I don't remember a bus.
No, in the third one, there's a thing called the Night Bus, which you can hail. It's like a wizard magical bus. It's three levels. It's a triple decker bus.
Oh, wow.
You know, just to say there's like expectations have been set.
So maybe I need to get another.
Yeah, deck. You need to just get another deck on that bus. It's like a big purple triple decker bus.
Is there a DJ on the bus?
No, there isn't, but there are beds.
Oh, okay.
So the Bantam bus got beds, yeah.
That's the late night version.
It's the overnight ride.
Yeah.
What comedians have you had on there?
I've had Junior Booker.
Oh,
I've had Filio Huff, who's an American guy. He's come over and he's a savage. Mm-hmm. He's a real savage. I've had Matt the Comedian. And I've had Salman Malik.
Oh, yes. No, I just saw him perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, he cracked me up.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. He's pretty funny.
Would you do stand-up?
I've started writing it.
Okay. Oh, you're like me. Should we do it together?
A duo, yeah, when we're finally ready. But I'm in no rush. I want to make it real good. I don't want to clown around and...
You want to get a BAFTA, so...
Yeah, I'm looking for the awards. All
go
or
big.
Nothing.
Go big or go home, babe. That's cool. And so you also run, like, a comedy Instagram.
Yeah.
Pete DiBrezzo.
Banter.
Banter. So you just basically like everything to have banter in. It's going to be Banter Bus, DiBrezzo Banter.
Banter Bash, Banter Boat coming soon.
I'm so excited I hit my glass.
That actually sounded quite cool. Like
yeah, it's the Banter Bus, thank
there
you.
I like it. I've made a few videos and I put them onto YouTube, but you know what? I just can't be bothered to build up the following on YouTube as well. So I just stick with Instagram. So
yeah, stick with what you know. But Instagram is the fastest growing platform in the world at the moment, 1 billion users.
No, it's amazing. I love Instagram.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
So now we've got an amazing interview. I'm so excited. We've got AJ and Curtis Pritchard to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, nice to have two sexy boys on.
I think they're going to be good chat.
Hello, boys. There you
Hello,
are.
Boys.
I just realised that that's Abby's Zoom, but it's AJ. Yeah.
we can tell the difference, luckily.
Good, good.
How are you guys?
Yeah, very well.
Yourself?
Thank you.
Well, really good. Do you know what's nice? To see two people sitting so closely together.
Yeah. How's everything going for you? Keeping busy, boys.
Yeah, social media busy and starting, you know, preparation, a lot of thinking, brain busy.
Best way.
On camera, yeah. Actually, I'm just watching Netflix.
Yeah, I think like we all are. What have you been busy doing?
Well, we've got a calendar coming out, which is...
We haven't been busy about doing anything to the calendar. All we have to do is turn to a shoot tomorrow and it's done. It's not even anything planning to do. You don't even have to pick your clothes out. You just turn up and it's all done.
AJ, you're supposed to be selling yourself.
Yeah, I'd sell myself. All he had to do was say yes or no if he wanted a calendar, and that's all he did do.
He had to think about it. Do I want one to do or not? You know,
well, yeah.
You know, we've got
sure.
the tour that we're planning for next year, AJ and Curtis' big night out. So
yes.
That's,
that is a lot of planning. I will give you that one. I don't know if you've done any planning towards that point.
Don't
yet.
Start saying that because we're on camera now.
He said on the post, like, I think the fireworks should be big on the post. I was like, good thinking.
Being a graphics expert now, on top of everything else, you're a graphics expert.
And you've both got a podcast.
Yes, so the podcast we've been working on as well, which is super exciting, because that sort of actually came about because we're on radio one time and we just sort of took over the radio interview and we were just talking nonsense the whole time and it was just great fun. And then we thought, let's create a podcast out of this, and it worked.
Oh, you're cutting out a bit,
but it's sort of like it has an insight to everything we're doing. So if a job's going on, we can talk about that a little bit more, and we can just sort of throw it along with our life. And we love to have debates.
I think
conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Like you do TV, and somebody sees you as you are, and you usually do a job, or even on like live theatre when you're kind of taking over an audience, you have quite a lot of control, and the adrenaline's going. But again, you're quite a loud version of yourself, a bigger persona of what you may be at home. But when you have something like radio, it's quite in, like you're in someone's brain. You're like, there's no visual. You're like, you're in there.
You're the devil.
But when it comes
shoulder.
To a podcast, the more you listen to a podcast, the more you get ingrained into that person's feelings and emotions. So when you, it feels very personal. And what's really nice,
I'm regretting doing the podcast now.
You know, what's really nice, we talk about, try and stick to serious stuff. And within 2 minutes, you are talking about the randomest thing ever. And you start off at point A, and you're supposed to go to B, but you go A to Z, and then you go back to B, and then C. And it's so random, but so intriguing. And even when we listen to a podcast back, and you're like, that's really good. And then you don't even realize what you said. You just start rambling on.
I guess that's the beauty of obviously being so close as brothers. When you're working together, I bet it's very easy to feel like you're not even working.
Exactly. Yeah. So true. And because we are brothers, we know each other inside out. So we just know everything about each other. So we always know how to wind each other up as well, which is a great thing for a podcast. You're just poking the fire there. Just, yeah.
Very easy to wind up you are, aren't you?
Like, for example, today, right now, funny enough, we'll use this prime example. Have you got a T-shirt on, Kurt, or did you think it was a sample?
No, I didn't, but you didn't either, so don't give me this.
I'm dressed in my real clothes.
You don't have anything on for me. But like...
Are you doing this bottomless?
No, I'm fully... It's free, you know? We're at home. Yeah, it's like free.
So it sounds like a bit of a cacophony of things. What kind of stuff are you talking about on the podcast?
There is a structure to the podcast.
I'm glad to hear that.
Chaos. obviously, we want to know about the topics that are happening most of the time at the moment. We may as well talk about Donald Trump this week, I feel like, because is it true? Did it really happen? Or did he just look like he'd been to a spa retreat for one night? Because he looks pretty well today, and we're just going to throw it out there.
But yeah, and we talk to me. I love a good conspiracy theory. So we have to throw some conspiracy theories in there.
And in the podcast as well, because we're going to be having questions about each other. So we're going to be getting the viewers to ask us questions. And we're brothers, so we know everything about each other. So if they want to know that deepest and darkest thing, that horribleness, you know, I got it.
Within reason.
Yeah, there is one point that is really funny, because our producer knows us really well now. And he does some general knowledge questions. And he understands that our general knowledge is... not the most general knowledge. So he'll hit us with like a random geography question or like a language question. And he knows that we come up with the most random answers ever because, well, our geography and history and
languages in school. So yeah.
And it's not really up there. It's more on the kind of like,
so if you put an accent on, then you're speaking in the language.
Yeah.
It's how it goes. You know?
Oh no, you're one of those people. Oh no.
Or just add an E or an O on the end. That's what I'll do in Spain. How much, eh? They know. If you know how much, they know. But if I go how much, eh? €5.
It's when the signs start coming out.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you obviously grew up together, obviously. But now I'm assuming you live together as well.
Yeah.
Can it get a bit intense between the two of you? Because that's a lot.
Right, so actually, it's not too bad. We are quite good. We get on each other's nerves and stuff, but I'm sort of living in AJ's flat.
But there's no sort of. You are living in my flat, rent-free. You eat my food that me and Abby cook for you. You come on our dates with us because you like the new restaurants we try. And you get new TVs because I've ordered the wrong TV for my room. You get...
Hey, don't hate me because you hate me, AJ. What can I say?
Can't you see you a good third wheel? You're a good third wheel.
I'm the best third wheel. If there is anything called a third wheel, I'm here right now.
You're a trike.
No, the thing is, I'm not really a third wheel. I do follow him around Everton, but Abby's my best friend. AJ's my brother and best friend. I'm the third wheel. I'm trying to dig myself out. Yeah.
Sounds like it to me.
I think one thing, obviously, because it's work, and for us it's not work. We love what we do. So being together, it's hard, but it's good. We do a job that's not really a job, and being in a ball together means that we can get work done super quick. So whatever time of day, night, an email comes in, a message comes in, like, we do it straight away.
Yeah.
Mainly because if we don't do it straight away, we usually forget about it. But,
for example, I think an email came in at 9, 10 o'clock or something. We just needed to confirm. I was like, AJ, check your email.
It was later than that, but yeah.
And then we can do it. So it works nice. And, like, what we do isn't work. I mean, sorry, Siri. Siri agree with me there. <We're awkward.
laughs> So right?
What we do, it's not work. We enjoy doing what we do, and we love to work together, and it's just good fun, and we just enjoy doing everything that we do. So I'm very lucky and fortunate.
No, he doesn't even wear clothes to come to work apparently anymore.
Who needs
would
to
you say
play?
The negative of working with your brother? I mean, obviously there's so many like positives, but is there a negative?
I think the one thing which is kind of like the highest positive, but also what could become a negative, which we aim not to happen, is for us, we are brothers and our mum and dad are so proud that we work together, but you would never want that family falling out, or we're very clear that sometimes we do get to that level where we are going to go crazy, and we kind of see that that's going to happen, and we always try and, like, I'll go for a walk, or he'll lock himself in his room, or whatever it is, you know, like, we know when we're going to hit that limit, and we make sure that we disperse and come back.
And it's not normally work which causes that. It's normally who's going to take out the trash or things like that.
You should have one job in the flat. Taking out the trash is the least thing.
No, I take out the trash. It's just it gets full up, and you don't see me take it out. So
because
then
you order these meals, and you use so much stuff up. You use more stuff than me, so you should take the trash out more often.
I'm 6'3", you're 4'1". You know, I have to use more things.
I mean, I hope if your podcast is anything like this, I mean, I'm into it. This is going to be
exactly
great.
Exactly.
Tell us a bit about the show that you've got planned.
Yeah, so AJ and Curtis, Big Night Out. It is basically a variety show. It's got entertainment, it's got singing. Somebody will be leaving every single show with an incredible prize. So it's got that Saturday night, you know, big shiny light TV show, that feel to it, and we've just brought it to the stage and to the West End.
Yeah, I think for us, we want our own TV show, and what better way than kind of really showing people, and especially the producers out there, that you can you can host, you can present, you can take over a whole audience. So it's got the dance element, because obviously that's what we're passionate about, but definitely the comedy side, our personality between us is highly scripted. And the what more do you love than having 5 or 6 people on the stage making a fool out of themselves, but can walk away with maybe silly prizes like toilet roll, which is quite necessary, we all know that now, or holidays at the end of the thing. Like, the great thing is we can really take over, and it is going to be a full-on entertainment show that I don't think has really happened before. And I think for us, for me especially as a kind of a producer and an OCD person, like, really writing it and taking control of everything and placing Curtis in there.
Yeah, but you're not writing my stuff.
I can't write Curtis' script, because Curtis will have a script. And No. You can be quiet right now. We'll do 40 shows, and not one show will be the same. He will start in a different place. We'll be doing a dance, and he's supposed to be over there, and he'll be sat in the front row. He literally goes kamikaze when there's a live audience. It's amazing for the audience, but for me, it is like, what is happening to me?
And does that stress out your OCD?
Yes. I like to be very
he likes
very
to
controlled.
Have all his mugs and his cups and everything in the correct way, you know, all facing the perfect little angle, his kettle and his toaster right in the angle. So sometimes I'll come downstairs in the middle of night and I'll just spin it round just to annoy him.
Curtis, you sound like a nightmare. I'm gonna put that out there.
Take that, AJ. I know this is gonna frustrate you.
James Acaster on Fubar Radio.
Joel Dommett, my guest for today. I know you like rappy vocals.
Yeah, I like the sort of slow fade out.
Do you?
I love a slow fade out.
I never knew that about you. I've known you now about 7.5 years. I never knew you liked a slow fade out.
Oh, I love a slow fade out with my music and my friendships.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I don't like people to be like, Joel, I'm never going to see you again. I like them to be like, I'm just gonna slowly text you less.
Yeah.
Until you're completely out of my life.
I imagine no one's ever treated you like that, Joel.
Well, you'd be surprised.
You're wearing, talk us through your trousers today.
My trousers, I am wearing, people may be aware of Lederhosen.
Yeah, people are aware of it,
people
definitely.
People are aware of those.
Obama got, we've got bought some or something.
Did
recently.
He really?
He turned up to Germany and he didn't have any of his own. So I think he said that he was going to buy some. And I think a lot of people were like...
That's the kind of that thing him. When you go to PE and you haven't brought your kit.
Yeah.
Like Obama went to Austria and he hadn't brought his kit, so they gave him...
He was doing vest and pants.
Yeah. And they just gave him some, like, cowl-based trousers. And so I'm not wearing full Lederhosen, although last night I was wearing full Lederhosen. I can show you some pictures.
Okay.
And they can also post them on the FUBAR Facebook page and stuff.
Joel, stop trying to run the show as soon as you've got here, okay? Listen, mate. I ask you about your trousers, and instantly you're telling us how to run the damn station. Okay? Just remember out. Where Check you out. Are.
I'm on the other side.
This is my house
there.
Now.
It's a really nice house. Thanks for having me.
When I ask you about your trousers, you tell me about your trousers!
You can also put it on the Twitter page as well, if anyone wants to. There's many social outlets. And so I'm not wearing Lederhosen, but I'm also wearing... Lots of people might be aware of tracksuit trousers, sort of comfy...
They're more common.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Lederhosen tracksuit trouser. They're like a sort of a crossover.
Yes.
And they're so comfy.
At first glance, they're pretty normal. They almost look like sweatpants. And then when you look at them, you realise there's pockets in weird places.
Yeah.
Like, much closer to the penis than the pockets normally are.
I like to keep my possessions really close to my possession, if you know what I'm saying.
What? Yeah, absolutely, Joel. I know exactly what you mean.
James, I've been here for a couple of minutes. I'm having a blast, mate.
You're already referring to your penis as your possession.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm not going to let anybody else own this bad boy.
No. Well, you know.
It's mine.
Even though people are constantly bidding for it. Well, it's nice trousers. Do you know the name of the... What they're called?
What, the tracksuit trouser Lederhosen?
Yeah, yeah.
No, but a tracksuit trouser Lederhosen?
Tracksuit trouser hosen. Is that what you just came up with?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you'd be like, Traxahosen or something like that, but you just went for tracksuit trouser, the whole tracksuit trouser hosen. Yeah, fair enough, tracksuit trouser.
Probably said too much of the first word, admittedly.
Joel, I always take first plunge on the shuffle so that it takes the heat off.
Do it. Do it.
I mean, I've been embarrassed in every way that this iPod can embarrass me, so let's see. Ah, that's fine, isn't it?
Oh, smashy pocket, I love this.
Smashing Pumpkins tonight on FUBAR.
You know I love a slow fade.
That's a good old slow fade. I am pretty happy with that.
2 out of 2. That was incredible, mate.
That's a good one to kick off on.
Don't you think Billy Corgan is one of those people where you're like, oh yeah, he's totally not dead.
Yeah, definitely. You just think, what's happened to Billy Corgan? And you realise, oh, he's still going.
He's still one performing. Of those people where I love the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
I really love them. And don't you think they would be real? Like, they're massive.
Yeah.
But they would be, like, massive if Billy Corgan was dead.
When he dies,
I think it's past it. I think he's now, if he dies, it'd be like,
I mean, really, I think the main thing that stopped him from being massive was them not wanting to be massive, didn't it?
Oh, do you think? Do they not want to be massive?
I think they're kind of quite sulky.
Yeah.
Kind of pushing it away, not really wanting, wanting to be quite artistic.
I really liked them.
Great, that music video is one of the best music videos.
Do you think James Acaster the comedian is a good representation of the Smashing Pumpkins?
Do you think I'm like
in music?
A comedy version of the Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah.
Explain.
Because you are artistic and you have the ability to be massive. But you are massive already.
I'm massive.
Sold out the underbelly.
Sold out the underbelly and died, yeah, I remember it. Dying for an hour, yep. And you know why I died for an hour, Joel? Because I'm artistic.
Yeah, artistic. Exactly. That's why. Smashing Pumpkins have bad gigs, but you know what? At least you're not dead.
Yeah, that's what it is.
At least you're not dead.
I'll be bigger when I'm dead. That's what you say.
That's what I'm trying to say about
you. Can't wait to be dead.
Imagine
that. So good. All that
zero
money.
Admin.
Yeah, yeah. So little to worry about, and yet I get to reap all the rewards of my hard work in life.
So
when I'm dead.
If you're the Smashing Pumpkins, who do you think I am?
I'm going to first of all say I'm not the Smashing Pumpkins by that analogy. Okay. Obviously, I think only a maniac would hear that and go, "Yeah, that is me."
But I think who do you? Okay, this is interesting. Who do you think you are musically? This is a horrible question.
If you got to choose a band that you're like,
yeah,
as
not career. I suppose you know what I mean.
Sure. I am probably. I don't know, probably someone like Sum 41, who everyone thought they were going to do well, and everyone still looks at them fondly.
That means in your future you've got some sort of terrible drink habit and get married to Avril Lavigne. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's really fun. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll go well. I mean, I'd say that you, Joel Dommett, you would be
like
a band
Harry.
That you like. Someone like Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
Who people forget how great they are until you go and see them, and then you go, I forgot how brilliant this is.
They've got some real punch.
I always forget how brilliant Joel Dommett's comedy is until I see Joel Dommett and go, oh yeah, Joel Dommett's brilliant.
Sometimes I'm distracted by his bright caps and his aggressive manner.
Him breaking stuff all the time.
Of course, we went to see Limp Bizkit together.
We did see them together, and it was great.
It was really fun.
We went as a joke. And the joke was on us because we had a great time. it was so brilliant.
Just like when people see me live doing comedy.
Yeah, it was so brilliant. Absolutely loved it.
It was really fun. And
Joel, let's play a song from your iPhone.
Okay, so I go songs, then right up to shuffle, right?
Yeah.
And this is, how do we find, there's quite a lot of songs on here, actually. I'm going to say that they're all on iCloud.
Okay.
So that's the...
Does that mean they're not your songs?
That means they're all my songs and I've bought them all at some point in my lifetime.
Oh, I see.
But they're not actually on my phone. So I just have to press it and then it downloads from the cloud.
Okay.
From the cumulonimbus, that is. Apple.
iNimbus.
From the Cirrus.
Okay.
Do you know any other clouds?
What are you planning on playing the song, Joel? It's out of interest. I've given you control of your own phone, but I think you're going to miss clouds for a while.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
I mean, you're allowed to.
Okay.
I'm not going to stop it.
I'm going to go. Here we go. Pow.
Okay. First song.
I mean, this is a downbeat, but I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Okay.
This is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, soundtrack by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis.
Lovely.
Very nice,
Joel.
Lovely, isn't it?
What a beautiful little opener to your your iTunes there, or from the iCloud.
From the Cirrus. I really like that song. It's one of those songs that it comes on shuffle.
Yes.
And you're travelling on a train and you're looking out the window and you feel just like really like you're in a movie.
Do you know what part of the film that's from?
I have no idea.
We've seen the film.
Yeah, I have seen it.
It's a good
long
film.
Time ago. Yes.
I liked it. I thought Casey Affleck's very good in it. He's
great.
Playing a little weasel.
He's I'm going to say he's my favourite actor.
Yeah? That is.
How is that?
Well, that's great. That's fine. Absolutely. I've never met anyone who's Casey Affleck's their favourite actor, but I don't see anything wrong with it.
Because a lot of people,
I like him.
You know, I think he's just great. I think, you know, Ben Affleck went one way. He went another way, and he's just brilliant in everything he does. Like, even like
Gone
Ocean's
Baby
11.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It's good in that.
It's like.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Lovely.
Hiya.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Good, yeah.
We're gassed to have you in, hun.
Oh, that's lovely.
I was just talking today to someone about Woman, your new single. It's such a beautiful track, and I want to start by talking about it because it's. You actually wrote it a while ago, didn't you, when you were 20 and you were kind of like looking forward?
Yeah. So I took some time off and then that was the first track that I wrote when I got back into the studio.
I mean, taking time off at 20 is mad. Like, it was, you've, like, a lot's been going on, like, you know, and especially in music industry terms. It must have been overwhelming. Like, you probably desperately needed that time off, no?
Yeah, I guess, like, when you get into the industry at 17 and then you're touring relentlessly for, like, 3 years, I think I just, like, naturally had to take some time off, like, for my health and mental health and just to try and, you know, work out who I am as a teenager, to be fair.
I mean, it's crazy because you kind of missed being a teenager in many ways, because that 17 to 20 is, like, quite seminal.
Well, I was talking to my mates about that. It's basically everyone's formative years, like, going to university. Like, I don't know, like, sleeping with the wrong people in halls and, like, making mistakes and trying shit. Like, I guess I had to do that under some kind of, like, watchful eye, like, with a team of people who are a lot older than me.
Which is weird, because that's something that people don't really talk about. Like, I guess you look at, like, artists now, like Billie Eilish and stuff, and, like, she travels with her parents, and it's, like, that idea of you are hanging around with people. You grow up fast because you're hanging around with people that are much older than you, and, like, they've already kind of done those years, so you don't. You almost don't associate with it.
Yeah, I think you get to a point where you freak out a bit.
Did you have your shagging the wrong people? Not literally.
Yeah,
but
just around the world.
Yeah,
all around the world. I feel like
Pitbull. The world. Oh my god, we all want to feel a bit like Pitbull, hun. Who doesn't want to live their life feeling a bit like Pitbull?
Mrs. Worldwide.
Oh my god, darling. Okay, I actually just went to Miami recently, and it's like. It's basically like going. It's like Santa's grotto for Pitbull. Like everything is like everywhere. Pitbull is playing everywhere. It's incredible. And if you love Pitbull as much as everyone should, then it's a great place. So talk to me about Woman, because you spelt it in with the X, which is sort of like it relates to encompassing all women. For that people who don't really realise, that includes sort of like non-binary people, trans people. It's an all-inclusive. Oh, is it not? You're not plugged in. Were you wondering why you couldn't hear anything I was saying? That is hilarious. I'm so sorry that you've literally just been listening to me say nothing for this whole time. Can someone come in and help?
No, I can hear you.
Oh, you can.
We're in the same room.
Oh,
innit? I don't actually need them.
Oh, okay.
Carry on.
They just make you look so
seriously.
Hot, you know? They're like super sexy wearing these earphones. Yeah, it's the,
the spelling.
Yeah, because I actually didn't know about the meaning of the spelling because I run an R&B, female R&B night, and I wanted oh my God, babe, you have to come. It's a vibe.
That sounds lovely.
And it's all female lineup, but I wanted to include all women in the same sort of context as this, and I discovered one of our producers here told me about this word. So I wanted to find out why you used this spelling, whether it was even related or whether it's just your choice of kind of.
Yeah, I guess like it's just a really inclusive way of spelling it that trans people recognise as being more inclusive, and it's used widely in the LGBTQ plus world, which is a world that I'm in. And there's also like institutions like Goldsmiths that have adopted it, and I think it's quite like forward facing and modern. And you know, like every year, new terms are like new spellings are added to the dictionary and stuff. I feel like this is a word that's gonna go places in the future.
Is it not already? I mean, I'm asking you that genuinely. I just assumed it would have been because it's such an... For me, like, as, again, I'm also part of the LGBTQ plus community, I was like, why have I never heard of this before? Like, because I asked a friend who is very woke about things like this, and I was like, please tell me some way that I can say this in a sort of short form way so that it's inclusive for everybody. And she was like, oh, well, you can spell it like this. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what we all should know. Like, we should be using these words. Like, these should be being taught to people to kind of include everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't think it... For me, it says, like, woman plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, like, taking away or...
No.
...anything to do with, like, men or, you know, male or... I see it as something that's more inclusive.
And I think there is a really interesting thing about that. Like, I think in this moment of, I'm not going to go into this deeply, but like in this moment of like cancel culture and stuff, it's so important to say that like not everything is about cancelling other people. It's sometimes just about including more people in one thing, as opposed to like we're saying that we're not including men. It's like, no, we're just including or everybody in this category that feels that they should be in this category.
It's like saying, why can't, you know, a man celebrate International Women's Day?
Exactly. Like, we can all celebrate it.
We
all get involved, have a pint. And talking quite candidly about your journey into young womanhood in this track and kind of like those feelings must have been, was it difficult? Was it tough to kind of put that out there, or was it quite cathartic?
Yeah, I mean... I guess when I wrote that track, because it was the first one, I didn't even know if I'd write a record or if it would even get released. And I was in quite a dark place, and I was writing from the point of view of a version of myself in the future that did know what to do. Because I looked at some of the female role models in my life who were older, who seemed to just know what to do just through being older and more mature and just through living through experience. So I thought, I'm going to get there at some point. I'm not there, but I'm going to write about that. And then, weirdly, like years later... it's coming out, and now it's my present.
So I never
expected that I'd come out of that place, you know, I'd work through writing a record, and then I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back, bitch! But that's the weird thing, is I think in those moments of, like, complete despair and darkness, you can't see outside, and the fact that you've had this outlet to then come full circle back to it and be like, and I am the person that I was hoping that I could get to the point where I felt strong enough to be.
Yeah,
and that's really great for other women to kind of link with. And like I was saying, she was talking to my friend earlier on the phone, and she was saying that that idea is in itself is so inclusive and so, like, anyone can relate to that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And in the video, you shot it in the Yorkshire Moors, right, with three renowned cyclists, and it's, like, quite an intense, like, in that sense, from the cyclist's point of view, quite an intense video.
Yeah.
Like, the striving and the passion, and, like, it was quite, like, it looked like a lot of fun to film it. I mean, you definitely had an easy ride.
Excuse the expression.
Yeah.
I didn't get on a bike. I had the idea, like, going into a meeting with the label, and I think I was meant to prepare quite a few ideas for the video. And off the back of my, like, I just kind of came up with, like, what if we shot female professional cyclists in a super kind of, like, hyper-masculine, almost like a Tesla advert, and then we showed their strength, and then somehow I'll be involved, but I'm not sure how. And then before you know it, we contacted the amazing director, Jane Stockdale, who shoots, like, a lot of professional sportswomen and men. And this is the first music video that she's done.
Oh, really?
And so... yeah, it kind of just, like, came together.
It really works, and it's very beautiful, but I would have preferred it if I'd just seen you on, like, a spinning bike. You know, one of those, like, static bikes, like everyone else is like.
How fine.
So you're just literally in a spinning class. No, I really liked it. And there's a certain pressure, isn't there, in the music industry that taking time off is just not allowed.
Yeah.
It's like, did you feel that when you took the time off? Is that what kind of led to the dark place? Because it's like that pressure of, like, no, don't stop, because it's all going, you know?
I guess for me, it wasn't like a choice to take the time off, because I got to the point where I felt like I'd completely lost Holly, and I'd separated Lapsley and Holly and just lost, you know, this girl. And whereas now I feel like I've found myself, and through that I've found the artist within me who was always there, and it is the same person, it's just a form of expression. So it was kind of like a journey of, like, getting back to me, I think.
It's so weird to hear you say that, because I feel really similar. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Like, when you go through severe trauma, I think we all put the, like, clown face on. And it's like, well, not severe trauma, but, you know, like, in life, when you go through bad shit and then you kind of have to carry on going, I found myself being like the person that I am in my job when I can't be the person that is like the real, like the normal me. And that's just not sustainable. You can't just be this fake, not fake, but you can't be the one side of you all the time. You have to have that kind of like downtime.
Yeah. I never would have thought that I had missed performing because I realised how much I wasn't 100% happy when I toured the last record due to many things, but a lot of it was like lack of self-confidence and low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, like, I step onto the stage and I can finally like lose myself in it.
Yes, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and enjoy it and be like proud of the songs that I'm writing and let myself go back and think about that ex when I'm singing. Like, rather than just standing there and wondering if people think that like my weight's changed or that my skin's bad or that I did a wrong note. Whereas you get to a point where you don't give a shit anymore.
But also that is all, like, it is what you realise is it is all in your mind. It's
huge. Yeah.
And so you do feel like emotionally you can go back to those moments that these songs are about.
Yeah.
In the live. Because that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's intense. Yeah.
Because, like, I cry all the time, like, about anything. So I'm like, I would rather watch horror films than watch sad films because I'm more triggered by, like, crying than I am by murder.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like it's quite powerful to be able to go to that place where you've cried and you've been the saddest you've ever been and be able to still, like, utilise that in a way that isn't just you sobbing on stage.
And it's funny because then when you sing old songs, which you think, oh, well, they're about, you know, things that I was sad about in the past, you then suddenly apply current situations to that, and then the spiral continues, and you're an absolute wreck on stage.
Have you ever, like, cried on stage?
Tears were in my eyes during the London performance.
Oh, wow.
But, like, I didn't fully.
But that's powerful. Like, did you feel like the audience could feel that? I bet they could.
Yeah, yeah. Although I just said it was like my contact lenses were really shiny.
Yeah.
It's
that
okay
is the
to cry.
Excuse ever. Sorry, my contact lenses are just, they're actually gloss contact lenses.
Gloss? Yeah.
So they're just super duper shiny. Sorry about that. Okay, so we're now going to play a game that I play on my show called Harriet's High Fives, right?
Yeah.
If that's okay with you, it's all about you. It's five questions that are really bizarre, random questions about your life and your career.
Yeah.
You most likely will have no idea what they are, and that's what I like to test people on, is random shit that they have no idea about. Okay,
nice. I'm nervous.
Yeah, don't be. Okay. You are up against other people. We're going to bring up the leaderboard. There's lots of other people who've taken part. Ruth Ann, and it's between, so you can get five. There's only one person that's got 5 out of 5, and I feel like, did they
was it a yes or no?
Yeah, it's multiple choice, so it's not that hard.
Yeah,
let's set the tone because then you can really feel stressed.
Okay, cool.
You can't actually hear this, but it's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
All right, cool. Yeah.
That's the soundtrack behind.
So what's the one that's like da 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 da
da da da da?
Boom! Is that Countdown?
That's Countdown.
Countdown. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Haven't got that.
Close.
Sorry. Are you still going to play? Even though I haven't got that.
Okay,
okay. All right, Lapsley. Who directed the movie American Honey that your track 8896 appeared on? Was it Gwendolyn Christie, Andrea Arnold, or Chad Hartigan?
B.
Andrea Arnold. Absolutely correct. Well done. Yeah. Off to a good start, but don't take that to mean anything.
Rest on your laurels. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, don't. What venue did you play on 19th of October 2016? Was it O2 Shepherd's Bush Empire, London, Chatham Palace, London, or Bristol Trinity, Bristol?
It was Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Oh, my days. You are killing it, babe. Killing it so far. When was your understudy EP released? Was it 5th of January 2015, 24th of February 2015, 6th of March 2016? She's in her mind palace, I can see.
What were the first two, sorry?
5th of January 2015, 24th of February 2015. It's tense in the studio right now. Lapsley.
I know, it's A or B.
Which one is it? Is it? Oh, I don't want to give anything away, but I really want you to get a 5 out of 5. I really want people to succeed in this game.
Why would I
go with your gut?
Fifth?
Go with your gut.
Nobody's alive on the 5th.
But this is 2015.
I know, it's... Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I then made the video. A.
Yes, mate! 3 out of 3 so
I know
far.
Me so well.
Who photographed you for DIY magazine in 2015? Was it Simone Bremont, Emma Swan, or Sarah Palmer? I hope I've pronounced Simone Bremonte correctly. I've pronounced it two different ways now, so hopefully all inclusive.
Can't remember that one.
Okay, so it's Simone Bremonte, Emma Swan, or Sarah Palmer?
A?
No, I'm afraid it's Emma Swan. This is what I'm saying, is these questions are fucking bizarre. Are you ready for the last one?
Yeah.
When was your album Long Way Home released?
Yeah.
When was it released? Was it 4th of March 2016, 19th of March 2016, or 6th of May 2016?
19th of March 2016.
Boo! Oh no, it's 4th of March!
Is it the 4th?
Oh my god, you got your own album release date wrong!
Stay home and chill. Keeping you company.